You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Corey.
I'm Natalie, and we are the Art History Babes.
How's it going, Nat?
It's going. Currently trying to put my computer on Do Not Disturb without seeing where I'm looking. There we go. Yeah, it's going well. Just end of my week, Friday. Happy it's Friday. Happy to be here. Happy to be talking about this subject. Wish we didn't have to talk about the subject, but since it's a thing, happy to talk about it.
Truly. So we're doing something a little different, a little new today, because, you know, inspiration strikes and you just got to go for it. I guess today's episode is going to be really just more of a discussion as opposed to, you know, what you might be used to with us. We do like these big, like research-based episodes. This is more, we're just going to chat about some stuff that we got a lot of feelings about and that feels very just necessary right now and important in this current like internet age or post-internet age creator social media world. And we're also doing this one on YouTube. So you can listen to the podcast, or if you want to look at our faces and see our expressions, you can head over to the Art History Babes YouTube. You can also see all of our books in the background. That's very fun.
So I like how smart.
I know. I like how both of our like setups. We made sure to like sit ourselves in front of our books to be like, I am knowledgeable. Yeah. Look at my precious volumes.
I'm currently living in a studio and everywhere else is a disaster zone. So you guys get to see the one organized corner of my whole space.
Also, shout out, Nat. I love how you have 5 copies of the Honest Art Dictionary all lined up like right there.
I wasn't going to do it, but like most of my books are still in boxes. So I had to fill that level of the bookshelf. And it just so happens that that's where the camera lies. Perfect. Or I planned it all and I'm just a huge narcissist. You guys decide.
No, that's just clever promo. That's all that is. I love it. Speaking of clever promo, I'm wearing my art hat.
Our current
merch line. Yeah, it's black on black. Very mysterious. You have to look very close. Embroidered cozy winter fluff ball cap. I love it. I've been wearing it constantly because it's like 1 degree here. So this is my look right now, like sweatshirt, braid, puffball cap. Also, I happen to have my new favorite tote bag.
It's so good.
I know. It's so
good. I love the size too. That would have been your book bag if we were still in grad school. That would have been the one.
Yeah, it's good quality. Like, it's a great bag. I love this bag for sure. So yeah, check out the merch. Check out the new merch line. We put some work into it. arthistorybabes.com/merchandise. But anyways, today's little art chat discussion episode, we are going to be talking about, I haven't even fully thought of a way to phrase this, but I guess maybe the kind of almost trigger finger approach to criticism on social media, particularly with regard to creators and artists. And it's a big topic. Like, obviously, criticism on social media is an unbelievably huge topic. So we're going to try and keep this like focused, or else this, I think, is going to get away from us very quickly.
It has the potential to.
It totally does. So to help keep it focused, I actually want to talk about some specific instances that I've seen occur on social media that have just made me think a lot, kind of upset me on different levels. And we can kind of like work through those different examples of what's going on social media, because I think they're just representative of a much larger problem, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't something that's occurring at in a limited sense. It's really running rampant, I think, on social media right now. So yeah, I have some specific examples, and I decided I'm not going to use the actual creators' names or like Instagram handles, because one, I know for a fact, like, two of these stories, both of the creators were just like really frustrated, and it was kind of like a painful experience for them, and they don't want to bring more attention to it. And two, like, I'm not trying to capitalize off of internet drama. Like, this isn't fucking TMZ. So
this is not about sensationalizing anything. And listen, I'm not immune to hearing details about something and immediately going and Googling it and trying to like look up more information. It's so natural. It's so human. Totally. So we're just going to take that option away from you. Make it easy.
Yeah. Also, it's like a mystery. Maybe you'll know what I'm talking about. Maybe you saw it, like, you know,
or maybe you'll have experienced something that is completely separate from this, but ran along the same exact lines. And that is what matters here. We all know stories that are like this, whether or not you know these exact examples. And so it's so worth talking about.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So the first one I'm going to talk about that really just hit me, and I was like, let's just record this episode. Like, I want to talk now. I want to work through some of this. It just happened this week, and it was a contemporary painter who has an Instagram presence. She does lovely work, and she, over the past few years, has put a fair amount of her work and process on Instagram. And earlier this week, she was being asked by people, you know, that follow her in her community to make prints of her work. And, you know, that's a fair thing to ask. There's nothing wrong with, you know, being like, hey, I'd really like a print of this. Totally fair. But she just posted on her story, you know, a lot of people have been asking for these. Sorry, I'm not the type of artist who makes prints. It's literally what she said, verbatim. And people attacked her for that. She was open enough to actually talk through it, like, on her stories, but ultimately she ended up being like, I'm gonna step away from Instagram. Like, this isn't what I do this for. I'm not made for this. I just want to paint, you know? But basically, yeah, what happened was exact words. She said, like, I'm not the kind of artist who makes prints. People who were like supporters of hers, like, she even said they were people who she had engaged with, like, on messages, attacked her and called her classist, called her elitist. Like, some people were like really ugly names, like ugly things, saying hateful, ugly things to her because of that statement. I am not the type of artist who makes prints. And she even goes into her story. She like said, plenty of famous artists throughout history have made prints. Like, saying you don't make prints has nothing to do with like judging.
It's not
artists.
A judgment.
Yeah. She's
it's
like,
literally just a fact. It reminds me of that scene in BoJack Horseman when he really offends that director because the guy said it's no Casanova. And he's like, because there already is a Casanova. It's not Casanova. He's like, he's not trying to use it as an expression. He's literally just saying, it's not that because it's this. And it's like, she is not a printmaker. She is a painter. And listen, I actually have experience being a painter and trying to make prints. It's so hard. It's not easy. So for people who think that she's just, you know, being like, I don't know whatever word, I'm not even going to give you one because I don't have one. She's just making a decision for her art that is deciding something doesn't align with her process. She paints. She's an amazing painter. Let her paint. Don't bog her down with needing to expand in areas that she has no interest in like turning paintings into prints. Oh my God. Go listen to our Thomas Kincaid episode. If that's like what you care about. Like if you care about someone who like wants to make prints, go support, go buy a Thomas Kincaid. Like,
also, there are tons of artists out there who love printmaking. One of our dearest friends in the world is a printmaker.
Which is like, also just a different way of making art. It's yeah. like to be a printmaker is just a separate medium than to paint.
Yes.
To be a painter that then has to turn paintings into prints, that's it's not art anymore. That is a technical process where you have to work with warehouses, and it's just it's a headache. And if she doesn't want to do it, it's not even a judgment about her wanting to keep her work for a certain crowd. It has nothing to do with that, I'm sure. And even if it did, that's no one's business. If she only wants original works of hers out there, that is her decision. And it's so bizarre. People think that they need to have an opinion about it, yet alone judge her and bring it to her.
And like, berate her over it. Like it just layers on layers because, yeah, exactly. Like, obviously, accessibility. Yes, we love it. We're all fans of accessibility here. And yes, there is a discussion about how prints can make art more accessible to people. Sure, but someone has to put in the labor to make these things possible in terms of all of accessibility. And like, it's so interesting to me that it seems like it's become commonplace for people to step into a creator space, you know, be it on Instagram or wherever, and demand a certain thing without giving any attention or understanding to the fact that like labor has to go into that, time has to go into that, money has to go into that. Like you just expect these things to happen. And she said straight up, I want to focus on painting. I have no desire to put in the labor to make prints. That's just not what I want to focus my time on. And yeah, people took it to this really, really gross personal place, calling her all of these names. And like, dude, I am so against like classism and elitism in the art world. Like that's something I care passionately about. Nothing about this situation is elitist or classist. That's bullshit. And like,
the privilege is coming from the opposite direction. The privilege yeah. is coming from the people criticizing her, acting like they're entitled to any of her time, energy, or labor. They are not. She paints, she makes beautiful paintings that people have the option to purchase. That is it. And it's bizarre that people are attacking her for not making prints when, if you think about it, there are so many artists that have a whole career based on printmaking. So why would you not then, if you're interested in prints, why would you not go find artists that are busting their asses to make prints? Why wouldn't you just go buy those? It's so bizarre. There's so many layers of why.
Yeah,
I'm
totally.
Clearly. Like,
I know. It really upset me. It was hard to watch because when she talked through it on her stories before she ultimately said, I'm stepping away, like, I can't do this. She got really emotional and it was just like, it just hurt. It just hurt to see this creator who really honestly was doing a lot in making her process accessible. She was giving away a lot.
She is a generous content creator.
Yeah, she didn't need to do any of that. I think that's part of the greater conversation here, is the extent to which people on the internet often, not always, but often people who don't create their own content, who don't put their own stuff on the internet, they feel entitled to your space or your creation or how you choose to use your space. And it's such a weird phenomenon because ultimately, first off, even if you did react to that situation that way, if you reacted to that very innocuous factual statement, I am not the type of artist who makes prints, that was literally just a fact, and it offended you in some way, and you decided you didn't really want to consume her content anymore, there's this really beautiful thing called an unfollow button. And like the fact that not only did it go from I'm upset with this creator, like, I don't want to follow this creator anymore, I'm going to attack this creator, I'm going to get in her DMs, I'm going to call her really ugly names, I'm going to shout elitism when that is just such a far stretch from what's actually happening. Like, the fact that it just kept escalating when, like, you always, always have the decision to remove yourself from a creator's space on the internet. And yeah, and this is just like a really clear example of how it feels like so many people, because once again, she, like I said, she was very forthcoming with information before she kind of like popped off of Instagram. And she said like that these were people, you know, these weren't people that were like on the other side politically. These weren't, you know, these were the people that were supposed to be on her side. These were the people that, you know, and that's where I think it gets really problematic and really dangerous is like, you know, I identify as a leftist. I definitely, you know, I'm all about progressivism. The left is eating itself alive because of shit like this. Like
splitting hairs. It's splitting hairs and not even for the sake of anything. Like it's gotten so bad. I don't know if this is kind of like within that Venn diagram crossover of cancel culture too, where it's just people get really self-righteous in the fact that they think that they're defending something or someone. There's no victim here. There is no victim in this story other than the person who got attacked for opening herself up to community on Instagram that she thought was safe. It is wild. There is nothing about her account or anything that she's ever posted that should make people feel entitled to anything from her.
Mm-hmm. No, totally. And there is a huge crossover into cancel culture, and that is probably going to be an extension of this conversation that we'll maybe get into later, because this will turn into like a 3-hour conversation. But yeah. I totally agree. I keep coming back to those ideas. Like it feels like, and I'm, you know, I'm kind of just speculating here, but it feels like in the past year with everything, with us being isolated and all of this
pressure cooker of a year.
Yeah, the pressure cooker of a year. We're all isolated. I imagine, once again, I don't have any information to back this up. I just imagine that things like internet addiction has probably gone way up. I mean, even for me, compulsive internet use has gone way
up. Same.
Like, I think that's pretty common. And what I think has happened, to use the words I used at the beginning of the episode, is there has formed this kind of like trigger finger neural connection thing where it's like, I see something, could literally be anything, but I see something on my feed. It makes me feel an uncomfortable emotion. I react immediately by telling this person why they're wrong. And like, and that's just not sustainable. And it leads to a lot of situations like this, where the person being harmed literally did nothing harmful, you know? And it is all kind of a result of this habitual, like, I feel this emotion and it makes me angry or whatever. And so I need to attack this person and tell them why they're wrong because that will make me feel better. And it's just this like dangerous feedback loop. And it seems to be occurring about some of the most innocuous stuff. I think as individuals, like, we all need to kind of step back and literally just like take a breath and take some responsibility for our own emotional reaction before diving in to accusatory dialogue, you know?
Yeah.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.
Yeah, and exactly. Like, and just to jump off of everything you just said, take a breath. Like, take a moment. Process how you actually feel. Maybe we can come up with a list of, like, 3 to 5 questions to kind of like go down and post with this, because I feel like there's a very logical way to feel through and think through some of these things. And also, like, just from my personal experience, I've never been someone who wants to engage like that online in like confrontational ways. Mm-hmm. I'm a big just unfollower, move on with my life. But in real life, I definitely have moments of feeling like I need to make someone understand how they affected me. Mm-hmm. And it's such a good rule to just wait and process something on your own. You'll make a fool of yourself less in all situations. And I'm speaking about myself now, so I'm not being critical or judgmental of people. Like, I'm speaking from personal experience. Just wait a beat and process how you actually feel. Cause when you're being reactive and you're in the moment in your feelings, you don't make any sense. Like, you don't, it's such a losing game for everyone. And then you're hurting people. So if you're doing this because you think that you're helping, you're really just, you're not. And that's okay. If you're someone who wants to help, good. You're a good person. But know that this is not the way, and find another way. Find another way to process these feelings that you're having. Because, yeah, my heart goes out to all of the sensitive creators out there who are opening themselves up, because you have to nowadays to have a career. And I can just see how blindsided she was. Like, I can feel it in my bones, and it hurts, like, to think that there are creators going through this kind of stuff on the regular just by being vulnerable. And the reason I held up that Brené Brown book earlier that made Corey laugh is because Brené Brown talks about how you really, as a creator, have to learn to tune out everyone's voice who is not in the arena with you, like, getting dirty and doing the work. If mm-hmm. someone is not a creator, if someone is not, doing what you do and actually in the trenches, disregard everything they have to say, honestly. Like,
especially if they're treating you. If they're treating you, if they're treating you basically without respect or inhumanely. Yeah. Yes. I mean,
what we're talking about is not accountability. Holding people accountable is so important. I mean, but holding yourself accountable is important too. And so that's what we're talking about. We're talking about people holding themselves accountable before they get reactive and make a mess.
And we're also not talking about healthy, respectful criticism. That's fine. Like, we've gotten plenty of emails that were critical in some way that didn't harm us or leave us feeling defensive, because they treated us with respect and like humans. And then they brought their insight or their critique or whatever to the table. And like, and then you can kind of take that or leave that. Like, you always have the option to do that. Like, you don't need to take on everyone's critique ever. But that is always welcome, like, for us as creators. Like, as long as you are not being hateful, spiteful, dehumanizing, I think that's part of this whole discussion, is like, that's such a thing you can do, you know? Like, if it really is an issue to you, like, you can sit down and breathe through it and think about it and draft a nice email treating the other person like a human being and bringing your concern to them. That's an option.
Yeah.
And it's a much better option than jumping into their DMs and calling them names. Like a much better option. And for everyone involved, for them, for you, like that's how actual like kind of critical discourse can occur. But also going back to what I said, even if you sit down and you craft a nice email to a creator and they don't have the time to respond, they don't have the time to respond. Like you can't place these expectations and these rules on creators just like because you feel some type of way. As I said before, if that upsets you that much, you can move away from their space. But like,
exactly.
It's just unrealistic, you know, and it kind of comes back to perception of each other. And I think a good chunk of this is taking responsibility for the role your perception plays in every situation. Like this situation we just explained is a perfect example of, as we just stated, the exact sentence was, "I am not the type of artist who makes prints." She even went so far as to explain to people that that's exactly what she meant. Like she broke it down that she meant it very literally and not offensively at all. She wasn't saying anything about artists that make prints, but people were obviously, quite a few people were triggered by that phrasing, and they created a perception of what she was actually saying. And then they weren't willing to take responsibility for that perception that they created. And to me, all that says is that those people were looking at that sentence and they felt some kind of emotional trigger. And then they were looking to find the worst possible interpretation. They were looking for the ugliness when it wasn't there. And that's on them. Like that is on them. Like if you are digging into as far as you can to try and find bad shit, I promise you, you'll always find it. Cause that's the way human brains work. like you will always find it. And so there's an element of that, of like taking responsibility for your own perception. And obviously we're talking about these very specific kinds of situations. We're not talking about situations where like blatant hate is being thrown out. We're not talking about anything like that. That's a different story. That's a different topic. But we are talking about making something very ugly out of something that is very innocuous, and how that just seems to be a pattern right now.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean, it's such a relatable thing. I think we've all had someone twist our words to make mm-hmm. them uglier than we intended, and had to live through the, you know, small personal drama between two people. Now, imagine having to deal with that on a grand scale and ward off people that you've never even met. But also the fact that you were saying people who she's had communication with, like that to me is even worse. Like the thought of people that we've made connections with on social media and stuff coming at us for something like that. Because I mean, we've had people come at us, and usually pretty expectedly. Like usually we brace ourselves when we talk about certain things. We know that like a certain amount of feelings are going to come our way. But never have we, I feel, been turned on. It's always like people who probably were waiting to misunderstand us, or
we
came in with that intention.
We haven't had too many issues with like any type of mob mentality, which is nice, but we've just had some weird individual ones. I actually have one story that I will tell because it's about us and it's kind of funny. But this, honestly, I love this story because as a creator, this was a little bit of a turning point for me and how I chose to deal. Because I know the first time, I remember it so crystal clear. The first time we got a really like angry kind of spiteful message on Instagram, you and I like pretty much had panic attacks. Like, we got so worked up.
And we had to lean on the support systems. Yeah. And they told us to go watch TV.
Both of our partners at the time were like, do not under any circumstances respond to that message.
They're just like gingerly like taking our phones from us. Just being like, calm yourself.
They're like, relax. No, shut it down. But to be fair, my mental health was not at a great place at this point, but like anxiety attack. I mean, it was physically uncomfortable. It really fucked me up.
We are not confrontational people. You should see when we disagree. It's such a weird little dance. We are not confrontational by nature.
Yeah. So it was just like, it was definitely a physical, painful experience. It was very anxiety inducing for me. I don't feel that way at all anymore. A lot of times the situations are actually very funny to me. I know, right?
Called growth, like, people. It can happen. You can't do these things. You think you can't rise above, and then you do it and it just keeps getting easier.
100%. Now it really does. Like, sometimes it like makes me laugh, like when people come at us that way. Like, so it's, you know, if you're new to being a creator on some type of social media platform and you're kind of afraid of these things, we were too. And you just feel through it and then it gets easier. Like, and you start to understand it better and you kind of start to understand that it actually isn't about you.
Like, projections everywhere. Everyone is projecting all the time, constantly in every direction.
It's crazy. It's wild. Like, it's wild out there.
Even, like, I mean, like, I know I project. It's just, I recognize it. It's not that you ever stop, really. It's just you recognize what you're actually doing. And so you don't react to it because you stop yourself before that point.
Exactly. And that's all you can do. Yeah. And I think before I get into the story, that's also something I want to state with all of this. I am not saying I am not critical of people on the internet. Like, I'll be scrolling and I'll read something and I'll probably misunderstand it, or it'll make me feel some type of way and I'll have some kind of critical thought too. And like I have those experiences all the time. But it's the whether you decide to internalize it, whether you decide to act on it, whether you like what meaning you give to it, you know. The critical mind can, as I said, can pull apart anything, really. So I do not fault anyone for having a thought like that, because I have them all the time. But it's the taking the time to reassess and think about it and be like, does this really mean what I think it means? Am I overreacting, or do my emotions actually align with the situation? It's like giving yourself the whole process, because just jumping on the offensive or jumping on the defensive and attacking the person is shit's going to get messy. The story I was going to tell about one situation that was like just like a turning point. This was, I honestly don't even remember when. I want to say like a year and a half ago, because time is weird. I don't even like understand time anymore. I'd post on Instagram. We post regularly. And someone commented on the post, and they commented about a podcast episode that we had done about Lady Gaga. And at the time of this post, at the time that they posted about the Lady Gaga episode, Lady Gaga episode was old. It had been out for a while, like months. We did that one with Farron Gibson. Shout out, Farron. But they had just listened to this older episode, and then they decide to come on to our Instagram because they have something to say. And they commented to let us know what they had to say. Also, they didn't message, they commented because they wanted everyone else to see what they had to say.
Yep.
That's another thing too. Like,
I actually have thoughts on that once you're done with the story.
They commented about the Lady Gaga episode, and it was very huffy and puffy because in that episode, I brought up the Ariana Grande God is a Woman video because it had just come out. Mm-hmm. At the time of that episode, we literally talked about it for like a couple minutes. It was barely a footnote in the episode. It was just like a mention because there's a lot of art history in that video and it had just come out.
References.
Right. Yeah. And barely a mention in the episode. We just kind of like shouted it out. This person was very upset that I did not mention the name of the artist that worked on that video. one, didn't have that information, didn't know the name of the artist that worked on the video, didn't do any research on the Ariana Grande video, didn't claim to have done any research on the Ariana Grande video, literally just mentioned it. And they were mad that I didn't talk about the artist. And they, used very aggressive language. They pulled, my favorite in the world when people are trying to be on like their moral high horse. They pulled the like, do better. because like I, in this episode had nothing to do with Ariana Grande or that video, didn't mention the name of an artist who at the time I didn't even know. It was just such a weird thing to get that upset about and like come on the page and like make a big deal about it. And I was like, if we ever did an episode on that music video, of course we'd talk about the artist. Like that's just, it was a mention in passing. Once again, you know, one way you could have dealt with that situation, shoot us an email or a DM. Hey, thought you might like to know the name truly of the artist from the video.
And we probably would have read you at the end of an episode and said, hey, thanks for letting us know. Mm-hmm. Like people have been harder on us about things and had criticism that was more valid that they presented in ways that we then fully owned and been like, hey, this person like introduced us to a blind spot we had or like corrected us in a way that we weren't thinking about. And yeah, we own it. That is not the way to ever get information across to someone. Like we, like there's nowhere for us to go but defensive from that. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's what you need to, that's what people need to realize too, is take accountability for how you are presenting something to someone. If you're only giving them the option, well, I don't know, because sometimes that is the only way to talk to people. But in this context, no, there's no need for that. Like,
because none of it was, why? It wasn't that big of a deal. Like, it's just a thing. It's just a,
well,
thing,
and this one's happened. So extreme. It almost just makes this person look like, ooh, like the person who like, you know, like loses their shit in the checkout line at the grocery store. And everyone else just kind of like steps 2 feet away because they're just like, I'm not going to touch that because that's just too much. So in this situation, it's just, it's like so extreme. So what I was thinking about earlier is the idea of DMs versus comments. And that's really interesting too, because those are two very different avenues. And it's not to say that one is more confrontational than the other, but they're used in different ways. And they can both be used really badly, because sometimes people feel more entitled to like loose language and I guess not really thinking through what they say and just being uglier when they're in DMs. But there's also this weird performative aspect to the comment section. So it's, it can both be so ugly. But if any time those things are going on in your head when you're writing someone, the fact that no one's watching so you can say what you want, or people are watching so you're going to try and like publicly shame someone, just stop yourself. Like stop yourself. Buy a journal. Fill it up. Maybe you'll become a great artist too.
I mean, I think that's, yeah. If you're about to act and you ask yourself, that's a good question. Am I trying to publicly shame someone? The answer to that is yes. A lot of instances you should stop. I'm not going to say every instance, but a lot of them, yeah.
Brené Brown also teaches us that we don't learn through shame. So
totally.
Even if you do think that you're teaching someone by publicly shaming them, like we said, accountability is one thing. Holding people to an appropriate standard is one thing. But hold yourself to the standard of decency. And if you're going to criticize someone, think about how you would actually criticize someone in person. There are not different rules for the internet. Like, just stop with that mentality.
Yeah.
It's making us so much more disconnected. And just, it's nasty. It's not fun to even see. Like when I find one of those little like pockets of negativity in a post or something, like so often it's just like, ugh, just like kind of ruins my day a little bit. And I'm not even the one having to deal with it. I'm just passing by for a brief second.
That is another thing that I did just kind of want to briefly mention, that even if you are someone who has gotten more comfortable on social media with a public presence, who is, you know, like I said, I think I've really transformed in how I deal with people like that. Like, most of the time, you know, I do find it funny or whatever. It doesn't ruin my day. That being said, hateful comments, it's still like a wrench. Like, it's still like a, you know, it's not good vibes. Even if you're someone who feels like you can deal with it pretty well, it can still fuck with your mood. It can still, you know, you could be in the middle of like just like feeling good about something, and then that happens and you're like, oh, I have to deal with this now. You know, like, it affects people. It affects creators, even the ones you might think have developed some sort of immunity to it. It does affect people, because people are people. And yeah, it's this like idea that because it's on the internet, like there's just this, some kind of wall that goes up that we don't recognize the humanity of the person on the other side anymore. And it's a phenomenon I don't quite understand. Like, yeah. I really don't get it. I really don't get how people can't stop and be like, that is a full ass multidimensional human being on the other side. Like, mm-hmm. that is where it blows my mind the most. Like, because like I said, there have been plenty of times I've been critical of people on the internet or a creator or something. But like, I can always step back and be like, they're a complex human. Like, there is never going to be another human being on this planet, on the internet or in person, that agrees with you and aligns with you 100%. And if there is one, they're doing it because they're afraid of you and they're afraid of consequences. That's the only reason that ever happens. If there is someone who always agrees with you fully and never disagrees, dissents, anything, they are afraid of you.
And that's not a positive thing.
No, that's not a good thing. I had also another story that I wanted to talk about, which is kind of another layer of this weird internet behavior, how we treat creators. And this one is weird because it's a creator treating another creator in a shitty way. And it really made me mad. It, like, this one pissed me off. Well, I mean, the last one pissed me off too. It all pisses me off. But it's all very frustrating. But so this one was a few weeks ago. And I was following this account on Instagram, and it was like a spirituality meme account I had been following for a while. And I liked like some of their memes and stuff, and like kind of liked the vibe. Like, there's a couple times they talked about cults on their stories. So I was like, I'm really into cults. Like,
speaking Corey's language.
Yeah. So I was like into it, you know. And then one day I'm just like looking at my stories, and this creator just decides to their audience, which they had like they have a sizable audience, nothing insane, but like a good chunk of people follow them. This creator decides to just like ask their entire following, like court of public opinion, what do we think about insert name of this other creator? And this other creator is another creator I follow. So we have creator number one is spirituality meme account that I had just started following. Creator number two is another spirituality like artist account that I've been following for a long time and that I very much support and I'm a big fan of. And yep. So creator number one is asking their entire following, like, what do we think of creator number two?
Mm-hmm. And that is just such a question. Man, we're back in high school. Here we are.
I know. And instantly, I just was like, I was shook because I felt kind of defensive of creator number two. But also I was like, I really thought creator number one was like better than this. Like their account seemed, it, like I said, it was like a spirituality account. Like they seemed not like this. And so they post this thing and then they start getting responses and they're posting all the responses. And some of them were very nice. You know, some of them were like, love her, you know, some of them were very positive, but a lot of them also were not. Lots of people saying really shitty things. Lots of people making really weird judgments. Some that I know for a fact were just
because she opened the judgment door. She literally said, hey, bring your judgments here. I'm going to just post them all. Like, this is fucking Mean Girls with the burn book. Like, it's so childish.
Exactly. And to do that when you're claiming to be like a like some kind of spiritual like guide.
Get
it was
out of here.
So weird. It was so weird. It was such a weird move. Yeah. And so it just like, I was like, whoa. And it made me very uncomfortable. And then creator number one decided to like, after posting all of her audience's thoughts, decided to put her own little thoughts. And one, she admitted to not even really be following this person very closely. So she doesn't even like have a lot of this information. She's just going off of the judgments of her audience. And like I said, I support and follow the second creator. And I know a lot of the things that were being said in those comments were false. Like it wasn't even true information. Yeah.
People make a lot of assumptions about her. She is someone who, she carries the burden of a lot of extra projection. I think
because
she is very protective of her energy. I wonder if that's why people tend to just like, like she's all at once vulnerable and protective. Like she, and it seems effortless. And I can see how that would really trigger some people.
Yeah. Which honestly, you have to at once be vulnerable and protective to do well in this space. Like it's, like that's why I think she's able to do as well as she does, because you have to have that skill, I think, to do well in this space. But I totally agree. She receives a lot of projection. And and then this creator one decided to put their own judgments out there. And they were super weird and gatekeepy about like spirituality, which is so gross.
The opposite of this other creator. So I can see why the triggers were just going off for people who clearly aligned with creator number one. Us over here in creator number two camp, like it's much more of a like we're all just having fun. We're all just trying to do our own thing. And like, oh man. Okay, but keep going because I'm like very into what you're saying. Because I didn't get all the details. So I'm like, I'm getting it all from you.
Yeah. So then creator number one basically laid out all their judgments of creator number two and how, just lots of like gatekeepy stuff regarding spirituality, which also a lot of it was based on false assumption about creator number two's spiritual background. But regardless, it was still weird because like if you're trying to be a spiritual creator on the internet, you should probably be welcoming to
people who agree with you, especially since there's so many people who don't give a shit what you have to say and want to tell you that, you know, your spirituality is baseless and all this stuff. Like we've dealt with people being so judgy of our beliefs, and we've also been judgy of other people's beliefs. Like we're not going to act like we're perfect, but not to them, like not like ever bringing it to someone's doorstep. Like and you work through that on your own time, so then you don't project your shit onto other people.
Exactly. That's what happens. I do a lot of the running of like our Instagram, and I try and like think of new ways to engage with people on our stories and stuff, and you know, asking questions and all of that. And I can't imagine what value would come from popping on stories and being like, so what do we think of insert name here? Like what value comes from that? Like it just
Value comes from even needing to criticize? I mean, we've had critical conversations about other art podcasts, but never, ever have we even had the like desire to tear someone else down. Like, ever. If anything, it's more exciting because we're like, hey, there's more of us. Like, there's more of this energy. There's more of an audience building for what we care about. Like, and, you know, and everyone does something slightly different. And it's just, there's room for everybody. Like,
yeah,
we just watched the OnlyFans doc, just to bring it back to that, when what's his name is like, there's enough for everyone to eat. Like, everyone gets to eat. Like, guys, that, like, abundance theory, like, we all can make this work. Like, you don't need to go after someone else or tear them down to get what you want. That's the secret. Like, that is the secret. Promise.
Truly,
promise
truly we you. Should just, like, bulldoze all of, you know, the early 2000s secret book and documentary and just be like, no, this is actually the secret, though.
There is, like, enough to go around. The trap is thinking that there isn't, and it makes you turn on people that you should be, like, buddies with. And it's you don't have to do it. You can disengage. You can.
Yeah. And this situation goes back to what we said earlier too. If for some reason creator number one's feeling some type of way about creator number two and thinks whatever, creator number one can hit the unfollow button, and that can be done for creator number one. You know what I mean? Like, you always have that, like, that is your power. That is your choice. There's nothing wrong with you ever choosing to disengage with a creator.
I do it all the time.
So do I. Like,
my tastes are constantly changing. So I'm constantly refollowing, unfollowing people. Someone will suggest something to me. I'll find some sort of value in it, but then the bad will start to outweigh the good, and I start to feel myself getting really judgy in a way that doesn't feel good, and I leave.
Yes.
And it feels good again.
And it's that day with creator number one, I unfollowed that person because that. Oh,
wait. You didn't DM them and tell them off?
No, I didn't. I just was like, this is gross and makes me feel not good. Goodbye. Like, yeah. It's not hard. And also, I had a brief conversation through DMs with creator number two about the situation, because they posted about it, and, like, I was like, oh, I saw that shit and it made me feel this type of way or whatever, and we, like, chatted about it, and she even said, she was like, yeah, it's a shame because, like, I like some of their memes, but, like, whatever, I guess, blocked. And I was like, yeah, exactly. Like, creator number two didn't even call that person out, nothing, just was like, okay, like, this kind of sucks, and blocked them. Like, you don't need to, you know, it doesn't need to become this big battle on the internet. Like, because even when they posted about it, it was super cryptic. They didn't tag the person. They didn't call them out. They were just like, I heard about this other account that's making, and they were, and creator number two, I hope this, you can follow this, like, creator number one, creator number two.
I mean, I am, but I'm like inserting at least half a name.
Yeah. Creator number two just wanted to work through how the situation was making her feel on her Instagram. She just kind of, like, brought it up and how it had been a really weird week for her because of, like, that situation and some other situations, but it was never like this creator did this, so I'm gonna call them, you know what I mean, which already tells you, like, the difference in energy that was going on between those two accounts, because, like, creator number one is out here like, I am dropping this name and we are going to judge, court of public opinion, and creator number two was more about trying to just talk about the experience that they were having, not trying to call out the other creator or anything like that.
Yeah.
And that was enough for me to be like, yeah, you know, I chose the right team, I think, in this situation. I think that one really threw me because I do think it's less common to see people who are active creators or artists that, you know, that are active on social media trying to drag other creators that way. Like, I haven't seen much of that. Maybe it is bigger elsewhere on the internet, but it's not something I see very often. So that, like, I don't know, it kind of shook me a little bit.
Yeah. And also, like you said, you didn't expect that creator to take on that life form. Like, we don't follow people that seek out drama or like want to sensationalize it.
Yeah, truly.
I mean, or for the people that we do, it's like very clearly like that is the thing they do, or it's to serve a greater purpose, or like I follow plenty of Instagram accounts that are very decidedly confrontational, but it's for a good reason, you know. Like, there's a difference. Like, if you are actually doing something and defending something on the internet that is real and that you're fighting the good fight, that's one thing. But none of the things that we've gone over tonight are fighting the good fight. Someone else's creative process, creative decision making, personal life that they choose to share with you, that is not fair game for you to, like, I don't know. It's the same thing of I used to really hate, and like, hate's a strong word, but I honestly think it's the right one, like award shows and celebrity culture, because it just felt so gross to me. And I hated the concept that, you know, the mentality when we were growing up was, oh, well, celebrities, they choose this. They put themselves out there. They choose to expose themselves and to open themselves up to this criticism. And that never sat right with me. Even as a little kid, I always just was like, why? Because they like to act, like they like to make music. They liked, like, to me, it was all, I was like, these people are artists. What do you mean they want to be criticized? Celebrity is not something that people a lot of times even choose. And nowadays it's a little more complicated because sometimes celebrity is the goal of someone's, you know, career trajectory. Like, that is the whole point. But even that doesn't, we have as a society decided that celebrity means something. We've put value on it. We've elevated it to this stature. That does not mean that the people who inhabit that space need to be perfect. Like,
yeah,
they should be respectful. They should be accountable. They should be all the things that the rest of us are. But none of us are perfect, and none of us are being asked to give what we're asking of some of these people. And now that Instagram and social media, TikTok, it's all opening things up, like, we need to become more decent, not less, because it's going to become such a big problem if we can't figure it out now. Like, it's already gotten so bad. It's like it's a weird mutation of online bullying, which was such a thing when we were younger and, you know, was like the natural progression of regular bullying, which was horrible and is still horrible, I'm sure. It's just,
it's also part of the whole, like the people, a lot of the people who are doing this aren't teenagers, you know. We're talking grown-ass adults.
Like, but it is the hurt teenager inside of them that is actually coming through in all of this. Like we talked about, it's high school mentality. It's high school level maturity. And like, we don't need to go back there, guys. We don't. Let's not.
I know.
Let's not.
There's a lot of things that are hard about like growing up, but that's one of the beauties of it is like, I mean, I say this all the time. I love getting older because I can literally feel myself give less of a fuck like every day. And I felt that way since probably like, I think it really started to click for me around like 26. I started feeling like, oh, I care less and less as the days go by. And it just keeps happening. And it's so great. Now here I am in my early 30s and I'm just like, wow, I don't really give a fuck. And like, I imagine like if that's where I'm at right now, like God, 50 is going to be incredible. But there's a lot of beauty in letting go of that hurt teenager, honestly, and letting go of those dynamics, those mean girl dynamics, those weird teen power plays. Like, you don't have to live there anymore. Like, you really don't. I think going back to earlier in this conversation, it gets really complicated because I think there are a lot of people out here who are intelligent, well-meaning people that know their shit and are very, very woke to all sorts of issues, right? which is valuable. We want that. That's who we want to be. Like, we're progressive. Like, that's what we want. But there has been this insidious thing that's happened where a lot of the mob on that side kind of wants everyone to get in line and isn't handling disagreement in a way that like honors humanity. You know, we're not the only people talking about this. Like a lot of accounts that I follow, some that are full like activist accounts, have been kind of bringing attention to this. Like Blair Amani, who is lovely and who we had on the podcast recently. She's a wonderful creator, and her content is fully like activist based, right? Like amazing stuff, super educational. All of her content comes back to activism. That's her whole thing, and it's wonderful and needed. Yeah. And we're huge supporters. And she just like posted a tweet that was something along the lines of like, bullying is not in line with liberation. And it's like, yes, like we can't with all this infighting, we can't be attacking each other and calling each other elitist and classist for literally making a statement about our artistic practice. We can't be getting weird and gatekeepy about our spiritual practices because our ego like feels some kind of hurt by the way someone chooses to express their spirituality on their Instagram.
How about you be a gatekeeper of your own energy and your own feelings? Mm-hmm. Gatekeep that. That is the only thing that you need to gatekeep, and do it. Do a good job of it. Like, we talked about protect your energy. If someone's triggering you, if something's making you feel some kind of way you don't like on the internet, disengage. Do not engage further. I mean, it's like, and like Corey said, asterisk, like big asterisk on that. Obviously, we are talking about something very specific here. And now I feel like I have to be very, very clear about my words and everything I mean.
Yeah, I'll say it again. We are talking about these specific types of situations. We are not talking about the bigger issues of like hateful speech on the internet.
We're talking about the things that get in the way of people actually addressing bigger issues. It's Rachel Cargill deals with this a lot, of people coming at her, and she will literally dissect the way that people will negate her actual point to try and come at her and talk about her tone and say, oh, I would have listened to you if you had done this and all this shit. And she is brilliant, and she will dissect the shit out of it and point out how it's just a pattern that people use to dismiss you when they don't want to deal with what you're actually saying. And that can be true of some of the stuff we're talking about. You can set off something in someone by just talking about a music video that then makes them feel like they need to go off and express something that you caused. Mm. That's wild. That is wild. And, you know, bless people like Rachel Cargill and Blair Amani, who are doing real good work in activism and kind of warding these people off constantly and realizing that that is part of that process right now with social media and being an activist on social media. And let's, you know, work in a direction to ease the burden on them. But I think it starts with not doing it on the smaller scales, because it's a slippery slope. And I think the very, very starting point is not judging yourself. Like, all of these people are probably horrible to themselves in their own minds. Like, yeah. And we get it. If you're mean to yourself in your own head, then you feel justified to put other people through that same process.
Mm-hmm.
But it can stop with you. As someone who has completely changed the way that I speak inside my own brain, it's possible. Like, it's so possible.
Yeah.
I used to have such a more critical mind. And even if the things didn't always leave my mouth, they would sometimes, and that never felt good. You can walk it back. Like, I don't even approach some of the thoughts that I used to have that I felt ashamed about, because I knew they were ugly thoughts, but it all stemmed from how I felt about myself on a certain level. And like, yeah, just if you can't seem to stop, start to listen to how you talk to yourself.
because I guarantee that's the start. Like,
totally, 100%. I have a very similar story. I'm definitely someone where a lot of the critical stuff stayed in my head, but still, like, the more critical I was of myself, the more critical I was being of other people 100% of the time, 100% of the time. And once I started, like, loving myself, you know, like, to self-love, you know?
it sounds like a cliche, guys, but it's so real.
Yeah. Once I started, like, learning those things and really, like, implementing them, I became less harsh and less critical of other people. And that really comes back to that whole concept of perception and the fact that, like, all of this behavior, all of these, you know, critical thoughts, which lead to critical words that, like, you may choose to throw at someone, it really does all kind of come back to neural connections in your brain. And we are creatures of habit. We are pattern creatures. And you have the ability to actively break the pattern. You always have that option and that ability. But if you don't do that, you're going to operate according to the habit. You're going to operate according to the pattern. And looking for the worst in everything is a pattern. Looking for the worst in others is a pattern. Full stop.
Yeah.
Like, it just is. And
it is.
And that doesn't mean I feel like we keep kind of trying to hedge what we say, because, like, I can already see how some people are going to try and apply this to bigger things that we're not even talking about.
Don't.
But I do also just, like, want to say that we are not people that believe in, like, toxic positivity either. You know, I do think positive thinking can be a really great thing, but I think always leaning on positive thinking can be a very shallow thing. Things are way more complicated than that. Critical thinking is important.
We love dark shit.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, like, I feel like toxic positivity, it's just, it totally caught me off guard that that's where your mind went, which, now that you say it, I get it. But, like, I could never think of us being toxically positive, because so many of our conversations, I think, are the opposite, to where they just kind of, like, revolve around darker themes in ways that, like, that I just, it's funny that we could ever be labeled that way, but I can see why you're thinking.
I just feel like when you start to say things like what I just said, and what I mean, I stand by it, that, you know,
it's going to trigger some people.
Yeah, that, like, thinking negatively and seeing the worst in people is a habit, like, then people tend to think you're a certain type of person who is just trying to make everything butterflies and rainbows or whatever.
No.
Which I'm not, because two seemingly contradictory things can be present at one time, and people are full multifaceted human beings that may say things that you don't expect them to say.
Yeah, that what we're talking about is, it's not self-love. It's not toxic positivity. It is self-love. Jesus Christ. I'll say that again. It is not toxic positivity. It's self-love. And I almost, like, cringe saying self-love, because it feels so just, like, co-opted and corny. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's real. And someone who is very important and meaningful to me recently said this thing. That, here's a perfect example. The first time they said it, it didn't click, but I respect this person, and I have, like, a lot. I just have a lot of respect for this person and agree with them. And so I sat with it for a few days and really let it sink in. And it's the concept that when you shine, you give other people the permission to shine. And that one had to sink in, because in my mind, I think I always would, like, I don't know. I had this idea that I had to dull myself in order to let other people shine, if that makes sense. That, yeah. Like, me having attention, or having, like, positive attention or nice things or being acknowledged, would take away from other people.
So I always felt like I had to lessen myself to let other people have space, to literally minimize myself to let other people have space. Totally. That was just the way my brain thought about things.
Also a societally integrated thing. Like,
there's a lot of misogyny. There's a lot of internalized misogyny in that statement.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. But it was challenging for me because I had never thought of it that way. But the more I thought about it, the more real it became. And the more I realized that, like, there's so much truth to that. Like, and so many people that I love and respect and have this pull toward on the internet, in life, whatever, they shine. They're not afraid to be themselves and to love themselves. And loving yourself isn't always positive. Like, that also means being vulnerable and honest. And like, man, our girl Lizzo, who just, like, I could cry thinking about Lizzo, like, just so many good feelings. But she posted something the other day of her, like, giving positive affirmations to her body and, like, thanking and loving her body and just talking about, like, the progress of not liking certain body parts, but then recontextualizing and literally just, like, it's just challenging things. You know what I mean? It's not saying, like, mind over matter. What it is it's deep belief. It's training yourself to really believe something is true, to believe you are really worthy on a deep, deep level, like worthy of love, worthy of respect, wherever you're at in your life, like whatever you have going on. And it's hard to believe that, but like no one else is going to get you there except you. And yeah, it's literally like it's the opposite end of toxic positivity. It's hard fucking work. Like, it's practice and hard work, and it's complicated, and you got to sit with your feelings a lot, even the negative ones. But it feels so much better to like judge people less and judge yourself less and to put less just negativity out there.
Once you break that cycle too, you start to have, I think, adverse reactions to that. Like when I see people doing things like that or responding to things that way, it really just like physically makes me uncomfortable. Like
clearly we get upset.
it really, I get protective sometimes. I'm like, I need to do something about this. Like it's something, this whole topic, and we'll wrap this conversation up for now, but I think it's something we can continue to talk about on several levels, because it is starting to be talked about in a lot of circles. And I think we need to just keep talking about it and keep talking about it. And it's connected to so much, right? Like connected to cancel culture, connected to punishment culture, connected to all of these things that I just think about all the time. And I feel like their damaging effects are very evident right now. I want to continue having these conversations. I'm going to say it just one more time. So like, I don't know, hopefully less people get up in arms. All of this conversation is talking about these things in a specific context. We are not talking about how to act when like someone posts something super racist, or how to act when someone does something super hateful, or when someone is like is out here like sexually assaulting women. Like that's not what we're not talking about any of that. We're literally talking about like that's a complicated conversation too, but that's a conversation for another day. We're talking about these situations where it really feels like people are tearing each other down and they think they're doing so righteously, and it's not good.
Creative on creative attacking. And it's hard to not see it as a complete projection cycle of just, you are closely aligned to what I'm doing, so naturally I'm going to compare myself to you in my mind. I'm going to have feelings about it. And then what people do based on those feelings varies. And hopefully you're one of those people that processes on your own. And here's the other thing about being a creator. I love this idea, and you're right, we do need to wrap this up, but I feel like this is important and a positive note to end on. There is this podcaster that I follow and really like, and she's in the like nutrition and health sphere.
and she is very into body positivity and all of that. And she talked about how she is never comfortable posting about or sharing something while she's living it. That she always needs like a reflection time before she can share. And that's, I think, even that concept, I think, would be very triggering to a lot of people, because I think the real time sharing transparency thing is very big. But to her point, I mean, first of all, she is dealing with nutrition, health, medical stuff. So it's different in that way, that like she really does need to be very conscious about it. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, why not be that way with emotional, creative, all that stuff? Like, we know that our feelings can change so much, and our perception about something can change so much in such a short period of time. Like, give yourself the space to really live through something and process something before you feel the need to then share that with a bunch of people. Like, that I think is what is especially gross about the story you mentioned, where someone was like real time parsing through their feelings about someone. Like, that is the extreme end of that. That's not okay. Like, you shouldn't even really, it's not entirely responsible to share your own feelings about something unrelated to everyone else in real time, because they're so likely to change. And you don't, like, I'm sure most people listening to this are thoughtful people. You don't want to be intentionally harming anyone. So don't, and take time. Time is really the key here. Time and thought, and just being less reactive. I think we could all learn so much by just being less reactive than we are.
Totally. Yeah, I completely agree. And I very much think, yes, the less reactivity is just like key, even just completely divorced from social media in your own life, in your own thoughts.
Yeah,
your own
I'm working
shit.
On it.
Yeah, just less reactivity and like giving yourself time and space and grace to kind of like feel through things is just, it's an amazing thing. It's a wonderful thing. Yeah, it's not something I have mastered by any means, but like, you know, you work with it, and it definitely, I think, helps these situations. Adding on maybe another dimension to what you were saying, I do think it's also important to give grace to creators in terms of them changing their minds, mm-hmm. because creators grow and change. And like, sometimes we'll record a podcast episode and I won't get around to editing it until like a month later. And then I'll edit it and I'll be like, oh, I don't think that at all anymore.
I know. And I end up cutting like full like statements. I'll have said a full like 5-minute thing that you guys will never know about, because yeah, 2 months later, Nat is like, no, shut up 2 months ago, Nat. Like, no.
And that's the nature of being a person who grows and changes. And so I think it is very important to have grace for creators who are sharing with you regularly. If I get on our Instagram and I say one thing one day, and then a few days later, I say something different, that's because I changed my mind.
Yeah, and we like, do it all the time, guys.
It's okay. It's like, it's an okay thing to do. It's okay for me to do it. It's also okay for you to do it. So giving people grace with like the things we do, the things we say, they are not set in stone. They are not concrete. They are supposed to be malleable. They're supposed to change. That's the beauty of the whole process. And letting that be okay, and like having room and space for that, is also just a very valuable thing, I think, for being someone, whether you are a creator or just someone who follows a lot of creators on
the internet. An armchair critic.
Yeah. It's just an important thing to think about, because ultimately, and this is actually the idea I did want to end on with this episode, every one of those people, whether it be an independent podcaster like yours truly, or fucking Kim Kardashian, whoever it may be, that is a human being on the other side of that. Like, it is, you know? And like, once again, that
we
doesn't
all deserve respect.
Yeah, everyone deserves respect. No one is exempt from criticism, but we all deserve respect. And also, just like, when I imagine just like constantly going off on people on the internet all day, it sounds like the most exhausting way to live my life imaginable. So like, if that is maybe the vibration you've been existing in, you might feel better if you take a break. I'm just saying.
Try kickboxing.
I love kickboxing. It's such a great way to release aggression. It's the best. Yeah. It's such a good
aggression
workout.
Aggression is real. Let it out. Just not here. Not on creative.
Do something that makes your body feel good. Like, or filter it into some actual, like, actionable, like, work in the community. That's a great idea, too.
Yeah, well, and if you can't, then maybe that's a good sign that what you're fighting for isn't a thing. If there's no way to channel it,
there's no actionable like thing that can happen from it. Maybe you're not actually
fighting.
Maybe
you let it go.
A fight.
Maybe you let it go, and maybe that will feel better. Letting go is one of the best feelings, man. Better than holding on.
Yeah. So I mean, We'll come back around. We'll do more of this like regularly. I think just having these discussions of working through things, because this is just, it applies to anyone who is active on the internet. And it very much affects those of us that create regularly and put our stuff on social media. So if you have more thoughts, please let us know. Just treat us like humans when you do it.
Or we'll ignore you.
All right. Oh, there's Buster.
You know, he's making his little guest appearance. Come here. Come on. No? Okay.
Well, I tried.
But thanks so much for listening or watching YouTube. I keep forgetting we're on YouTube. What's up, YouTube? And, you know, check out all of our other stuff. Check out the podcast. Check out our Patreon, patreon.com/arthistorybabes. That's a really good place to go if you want to talk to us. We're a lot better about communicating on Patreon.
We are. We are. Yeah. So, check out our Patreon. And it's also, we're a little more candid there too. So if you like this kind of this kind of loose conversational style, then Patreon is the place for you. He's good with his paws. So
oh, hi buddy.
big orange baby.
All right, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you guys, and we'll catch you next time.
See you soon. Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.